And then it says that you are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. One might even say to manifest good works or to create good works. Well, you're watching part 3 of the series entitled iTech, Technology, the Future and I. And this sermon is entitled Cyborg. If you had seen the promotional material leading up to the Sunday, then you might have noticed our graphic designer manipulating reality by placing my face on the comic book character, Cyborg. A lot of people got a big laugh out of it, as did I. It was not without any method. And so the idea for today is that we are going to look at the future of technology and how that future engages with us. We're also going to melt that in or pull alongside Scripture's idea of the future. And we're going to combine those thoughts into a conclusion that hopefully is going to be helpful for you. And so I'm going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 2 today. If you want, you can turn there in your Bibles or you can follow on the screen. My text verse is verse 10, but I'll be reading from verse 1 all the way through to the end of verse 10. It reads as follows. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. And then verse 10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. May God add a blessing to the public reading and preaching of his word. And so, as you know, the title is Cyborg, and the idea is looking into the future of technology and how we interface and engage with that future. My last point is going to look at a conclusion to this melting pot of ideas, both theological and technological, and have a few comments to say on the end times according to the understandings of the book of Revelation. So stay tuned for that. But allow me just to expose a little bit from verse 10 in Ephesians 2. It reads as follows, for we are God's handiwork. And the word here isn't exactly the Greek word for technology, but it has the same idea in terms of concept. And what it is saying is that we are God's creative manifestations, that not only are our bodies the technology of God, as from Genesis chapter 1, as the psalmist says that we are knitted together in our mother's wombs by God. So we are literally his physical handiwork. But Ephesians chapter 2 is also saying that we are his spiritual and his sanctified and his soteriological, which means saved, handiwork. The reason that I'm standing in this pulpit is not of my own power. The reason, if you're a believer, that you are listening to this message today, keenly and intently wanting to grow in your knowledge and your intimacy with Christ, is not because of your own handiwork. It is because Christ has put you together. Every victory that you have achieved, every gain that you have made, and every prospering that you've experienced comes literally from the hand of God. We, as the church, church of God, as individuals who are worshippers of God, we are God's handiwork. We are His technology. And so the Apostle Paul is writing to the Ephesians here, although from a slightly different context, and we're extracting the value from this verse that we can, that's relevant to our purposes today. He says, listen, you are God's technology. I need you to understand that you did not invent yourself. You did not pull yourself up by your bootstraps. And there's something to be said for a great work ethic. And there's something to be said for the abilities and the capacities of mankind. But he's saying, listen, you get all of those things from God anyway. You are God's handiwork. So you can't boast. You can't say that, you know, I did this on my own. You is a concept that finds its very fulfillment and definition in Christ, in God. And just by proclaiming that you are, just by proclaiming that you exist, that very proclamation, whether you believe in God or not, shouts worship unto Jesus. For He created you physically, and He is now, if you're a believer, creating you spiritually, soteriologically, and sanctifying you as well. So you're God's handiwork, you're God's technology. And then it says that you are created in Christ Jesus to do good works. One might even say to manifest good works or to create good works. So there are three levels and there are three actions that need to take place from verse 10, all influenced by the previous verses as an underpinning, of course. And the first one is an aha moment, a eureka, a recognition that I'm not my own man, that this technology that exists has got a creator, and that creator is Jehovah God and His Son, Jesus Christ. I am because God is. I'm not. I am because God created me and fashioned me and made me on all three levels, physically, soteriologically, and as well spiritually, or sanctifying me day by day, making me better day by day. But then he says, you are created also in Christ Jesus to then do good works. And this mirrors the heart of the Father. We have a God who is technological. We have a God who loves to create things. You still have to catch up to God in the sense of His creativity. And we never will, of course, because He's God. His ways are higher than our ways. His mind is higher than ours. And no matter what we try to do, God will always be transcendent and other because He is God. But just in terms of trying to catch up to what He's created, we haven't even gotten close. We've gotten closer than where we used to be, but we haven't gotten close. In other words, we can't create life the way God creates it. And I belabored that point in sermon number one. But what we are to do is to use our giftings, our talents, our mental capacities, and some have greater capacities than others, and to use these capacities so that we create good works. Now, you could take the descriptive word good out there and simply say we were created to create works. And you have got to get into building up, creating, rather than destroying. Now, of course, sometimes in the work of creating, there might have to be some chipping away. There might have to be some type of deconstruction or degradation so that you can rebuild again. That's not foreign to the idea of creativity. But we are not destructive by nature. We build and we create. And so I want to encourage all our young people especially. And I want to be very explicit because maybe you received a dualistic message from the pulpit in the series. Maybe it was misunderstood. So let me be clear. Technology is not evil. It can be used for evil purposes, of course, but it's not evil. And we have to be careful around it. However, I want to encourage all our young people to be creative, work with their minds and their capacities and their giftings and their talents and their hands and make things, create software, create content, create hardware, create new gadgets that can ease the pain and the suffering of people, create materials that will revolutionize the fashion industry, but create. And there's, we don't have an issue with people exercising the creative mandate that God has given them. And so on a very basic level, I want to encourage you to create. Who knows? Your creative endeavors might lead to a massive business that blesses the world for generations to come. And if that is God's will for you, bless you. And I hope to partake of your creation sometime soon. But on a more deeper level, we are to mimic God, we are to echo God by this creative force that He is, and we create as well, but we are to create in a certain vector, a certain direction. And that direction is that we are to create not just works, we are to create good works. And the good works are works that bless other people, again, on a lower level. In other words, they add value to people's lives. Now, there are plenty of creations. In our young adult group on Wednesday, we had some discussion around this, about certain types of technology or creations that really don't add much value to your life. They are nothing more than a money-making scheme from someone who thought that if he created something, and maybe it would catch on and it would sell, but it doesn't add any value to your life. And it reminds me of those little infomercials back in the 90s, I remember, when, you know, kind of TV shopping here in South Africa started, as far as I can remember. And I remember those late-night commercials, especially the ones for certain types of underarm stick, as opposed to a spray. And you'd see these exaggerated commercials of a guy standing in front of the mirror taking his underarm spray and spraying it as if he had no directional sense, and it goes all over into his face, and then it says, well, we've got the solution for you. A stick, and avoiding all the chemicals in your face and those type of things. Now, I mean, I use a stick. I'm not speaking against a stick. Please don't sue me. The point is that it's not necessarily the big fuss that people make about. So, technology is useful. Technology and creating technology, I encourage you to do so, but we got to vectorize it so that it is not only valuable, but that it adds blessing to people's lives. As a Christian, whatever we do, whatever works we produce, whether it's technologically relevant or not, we do so with the hope of leading people to Christ. I don't want to say everything that I do, because that wouldn't be a true reflection, but a lot of what I do, I think most of what I do, even my parenting, is with a view to lead people to Jesus. Now, there are, of course, times where fallen me fails, and sometimes my words and my actions might lead people away from Jesus if I were the standard. But my aim is always to create stuff, things, technology, content that is going to lead people towards Christ Jesus. So we want to make sure it's not destructive, but then we want to make sure also that it adds value on a very general base level, and we also want to then lead people to Jesus as the ultimate expression of our creativity. And then the last part, which takes us into the future, then I've got a few things to say about technology and the future. It says this, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That part of technology and part of sanctification about walking this road with Christ Jesus is to do the things and to go to the places that God has already prepared in advance for us to do and to be. And that's part of working out our own salvation, isn't it? Because what I need to do and where I need to be is different from what you need to do and where you need to be. So when we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, we understand, yes, that it's the same Jesus that saves me for all of us, but it's that same Jesus who's got a different plan and a different technology for me to create. And so I listen to God, I'm intimate with God, I pray to God, and I allow Him to speak into my life through various means, directly, out of relationship, that inner witness in my spirit. I listen, of course, to His Word, and that inner witness should never, ever contradict what His Word has got to say. I listen to the general wise counsel of people around me, and the voice of God speaks through His body. I listen to the preached Word from a pulpit or many pulpits sometimes, as many of you are prone to do in this age of content-driven sermons, for those of us sitting and consuming this content at home. The point is that God speaks and God reveals His plan for you. But God has prepared this in advance. We know from Jeremiah 29:11, the most famous birthday card verse, that God has got a plan for you. And it's a plan not to harm you, it's a plan to prosper you, a plan to give you a hope, and a plan to give you a future. Now, at this point, allow me to transition into specifically the future of technology. Now, I'm not a futurist, and I've read quite a few books that futurists have written, and we could devolve the sermon into a seminar on what I think the world will look like in 50 years' time. In fact, that's been quite a bit of my reading as to what the world will look like in 50 years' time. So I could share some theories around that, but that would really be irrelevant for a platform such as today. Did you know that Buckminster Fuller, in his book called Critical Path, this was written in 1982, he describes what he calls the knowledge doubling curve. And he said that for vast swaths of history, that the knowledge basis of humanity, the body of knowledge collectively of humanity, used to double every century, every plus minus 100 years. By the time we got to 1982, he posited that the body of knowledge that humanity possessed as an entirety was doubling every 18 months. IBM has done some research of late, and they were saying that by 2021, that knowledge is doubling at a rate of every 12 hours. That is astounding. And that is to say that the world is changing so much, and there's so much new information that is being added to what we have to engage with and interface with, that it creates a stability in our psyches, it creates a stability in our instability in our communities, because there's so much information to deal with and to grasp. And so I want to speak about just the progression of how new technology, considering just the doubling effect of knowledge all the time. And a lot of this knowledge is technology. This is new technologies coming out all the time. I've got four A's for you before we're going to jump to Revelation chapter 13, and there's a few things that I'm going to say about that. And so here are some points just about how to interface with technology. And the first one is, or how most of us do it, we just accept it. Now, you could, of course, deny technology like the Luddites or the Amish and other such groups who have a kind of a limit, a ceiling as to what type of technology they would inculcate in their lives. They do use technology, but it's very primitive technology by today's standards. So most of us accept technology. We might not go crazy about it, we might not even like it, but we accept that this is a technological era, and we understand that there's going to be new things thrust around us. We're not moved by it, we're not necessarily fazed by it, but we just accept that as the reality or the world that we live in. The second one is that we become attached to our technologies. And what that means, and the most common form, of course, of that would be the smartphone. You know, we've been to a number of places in Africa on mission. And in most of these areas, it was quite poor and impoverished. But one thing we've noticed that even in the most challenging areas that you would find communication devices, smartphones, and in certain areas you even find like DSTV dishes, for American viewers, cable TV reception devices, even though food isn't even a guarantee. And that's because people want to be connected to the world and they want to feel as if they're part of a movement that's very relevant and that's happening now. But we accept as the first level, and number two as the next level, we get attached to certain technologies because they are useful to us and they feed into us, they make us feel a little bit more connected to the rest of humanity and thereby making us feel more human. The third one is we assimilate, and this is where the title of today's message comes from. We assimilate the technology. In other words, the technology becomes attached to us to the degree where it becomes a part of us. And hence the comic book character Cyborg, part of the Justice League, as we spoke about last week. His life is saved from tragedy by his father, who is a very noted scientist, secretly using technology that he's been working on so that he could save his son. But in doing so, his son becomes a cyborg. This melting together, this attachment of flesh and bone, of person, of humanoid, with machine. His abilities, of course, get accentuated and so forth. And this is not the first time that this idea is posited for entertainment purposes. There was, here in South Africa, it was the Man van Staal, or the Million Dollar Man, or something like that in English, I can't remember. But this idea has been explored before. So we accept, we attach, we assimilate. And then the last one is, we absorb. But we absorb to the point where our humanity is lost. And there's a few art house films, to be quite honest, that has explored this. Major philosophers has looked at this with a base question, what does it mean to be human? And then they've looked at the influence of technology infiltrating humanity, and how does that change humanity? And what point does a human stop being human? And here's the idea. I believe that it is possible to accept, attach, and assimilate to such a degree that you don't even know that it's no longer you controlling the machine that's attached to you. It is the machine that is controlling you. In fact, you are no longer even a cyborg. You are a machine with certain biodegradable parts. And so we have to be extremely careful with this increase and the doubling of knowledge happening every 12 hours and new technologies being thrust before us and being attached to certain technologies, that our humanity is decreased to such a degree that we are less human every single day. In other words, more machine than human. And again, it's at that point, as I laid the foundation, I go to Revelation chapter 13. And I'll be reading from verse 11, and it's a well-known passage. It's a passage about the beast, and it ends off with the number of man, which is 666, and I'll share with you just some interpretive stuff, especially in light of the future. It reads as follows. Then I saw a second beast coming out of the earth. It had two horns like a lamb, but it spoke like a dragon. It exercised all the authority of the first beast on its behalf, and made the earth and its inhabitants worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. And it performed great signs, even causing fire to come down from heaven to the earth in full view of the people. Because of the signs, it was given power to perform on behalf of the first beast. It deceived the inhabitants of the earth. It ordered them to set up an image in honor of the beast, who was wounded by the sword and yet lived. The second beast was given power to give breath to the image of the first beast, so that the image could speak and cause all who refused to worship the image to be killed. It also forced all people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hands and on their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had the mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. This calls for wisdom. Let the person who has insight calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. That number is 666. So, with increased technology, greater capacity, the doubling of knowledge, almost to the point where it's becoming infinite, I'd like to posit a conclusion to what I'm saying today. And so we understand, number one, that we are God's creative works, and that at the end of the day, with a few intermediate steps in between, everything that we do is towards glorifying God and extending the boundaries of His kingdom. It's Christward. We are God's handiwork. But then we also understand the influence of technology on humans. We accept, we attach, we assimilate, become cyborgs, and humanity is entering into that phase right now with robotic prosthesis being very able and improving all the time. But then we also absorb and we get absorbed. All right? We lose our humanity completely. That would be the next phase. I see some of that in Revelation 13. But what I also see is technology employed in a very nefarious and evil way to subjugate humanity into slavery and to move it away from God. So all of you have heard of artificial intelligence. A lot of our systems to this very day are actually run by artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence is a algorithmic body of data that is self-learning. And so this body of data is being fed by big data, and big data is all the info that comes from sales that can be electronically recorded and fed into the system, your search histories on the internet, which includes Google and every other single search engine. And this big data, the collective data from humanity, gets fed into AI, and AI then learns how to become more human. Now, here's the problem. You see, there are people who are sociopaths and sometimes psychopaths as well, who don't have empathy or sympathy or cannot identify with the emotional patterns of being human. And so from young, they realize that they don't have this emotional connection like other people do. And when they see people smiling or laughing or crying, there is somewhat of a distance between them and that action because they're not feeling it. But they realize very quickly, well, that for me to get along with other people, this is how I need to act. But it's almost disingenuous. And those people need help. Those people need coaching. Those people need therapy. And I pray that if you're one of them, that you do get that. But these are also the type of people who we see displayed in movies. Of course, it's never quite exactly true the way they do it. They do it for entertainment purposes. But these are the type of people that can end up being serial killers and or murderers and or torturers and all, because they are numb to those type of empathetic identifications. So you've got a body of knowledge that is self-evolving, self-learning, and it is supposed to serve humanity's purposes. And this body of knowledge that is self-learning and self-growing is going to become so powerful to the degree that we will have self-driving cars. So the skill of driving a car and be autonomous on the road is going to be taken away from you. The economic system, according to Revelation, is going to be byte-driven, so zeros and ones, and no longer physically driven. And so everything has moved from something to nothing. We used to barter stuff. Then it moved to coins, copper, silver, gold. And then it moved to lesser and lesser value until we got paper, which was the last physical resistance. And our paper is even turned into zeros and ones on a database somewhere. And so we move from something to nothing, and it's all controlled by this artificial intelligence that has a brain more powerful than all of humanity connected. And what do you call that? One might call that God, or a demigod at least. But certainly compared to the average human individual, you've got something that is so powerful, it is way beyond our abilities and our capacities, and it is calling the shots. It also can mimic human softness, interaction, empathy, sympathy, kindness, and compassion, but it can't be it. And at some point, logic will take over and possibly seek to ensnare and enslave humanity. And I believe that has got something to do with Revelation. I could be wrong, and I'm quite happy to be wrong. But the future of technology for me appears that the consummation of all things and the events that happened just before that have got something to do with where technology is going right now, and we are witnessing and seeing it with our very eyes. Verse 16, till the end, says, it also forced people, great and small, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their hands or their foreheads, so that they could not buy or sell unless they had this mark, which is the name of the beast or the number of its name. And so they receive a mark on their hands. They receive a mark, either both or on their foreheads. And this mark is the name of the beast, or it's the number of its name. And then it gives that number, which is 666. And it says you need wisdom to work it out. And of course, there are plenty of people who have tried to work it out. And here's my little two cents to it. But you see, the beast, the false prophet and this beast, in my mind, considering where technology is and looking at the future, especially in terms of the consummation of all things, possibly the false prophet is a false being. It's not actually human. It's not actually organic. And is the manifestation of an artificial intelligence. It is a cyborg. It is a robot. It is a mechanical engineered being created by artificial intelligence itself. It's got a mark, and its name is a number. It's not personal. It's not human. It's not soft. It's not compassionate. And the number 666, which is the number of man, which for me, this is my interpretation considering now, and again, I'm probably wrong, so please forgive me. But you've got a binary system, zeros and ones, artificial intelligence, and the you know, and how they are connected together, and how long the strand of code of zeros and ones would be determines the various commands and so forth. But you've got a binary system that moves to a Trinity system. You've got something that isn't even human, it's artificial, but it's powerful, that jumps in the queue of the economy between man and God and supplants itself as a new Trinity that is created. And the very curse of the created replacing the Creator is what manifests in a massive way at the end of all things. And so just a quick encouragement and warning to you once again. Do not allow technology or the created things on my hands to be your idol. And don't allow it to become a god in your life. I pray that this, as the series comes to an end, that this has been somewhat valuable to you. Feel free to comment. Feel free to write us. And if you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, feel free to contact us as well. We'd like to assist you in that regard as well. Let's pray together. Father, we bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name that no matter what the affairs of the world are, no matter what even technology does or the direction, dear Lord, that it goes in if it's anti-God, we thank you that we know how this ends, that in the end, dear Lord, Father, you smite all those who are in opposition to you and you reward all those, dear Lord, who have suffered for you. I pray, dear Lord, Father, that you would continue to keep your church strong. And I pray, dear Lord, Father, that you allow us to employ technology so that your name be glorified. We ask this for your sake in Jesus' name. Amen.